Let's look into book clubs today on Scribble.
Welcome to Scribble, 30 minutes of conversation, comments, and reviews on reading and writing, editing, publishing, and selling books. I'm Roald Tweet.
And I'm Don Wooten. Connie Avey belongs to a book club at St. John's Lutheran. We'll find out what they're reading on Scribble. Book clubs. Why don't you have a book club?
I have belonged to a couple of book clubs, and unlike the one that Connie is currently running, mine were half the people, first of all, never read the book, and the other half, like, couldn't stand the book, right? And I don't think that really is true of your book club. I think your book club is unusual in that I know some of the people who belong to it, and almost all of them have read the book, and they may not entirely agree with it, but it seems to be successful in a way that the book clubs I know, and I know other people that belong to book clubs too, and they are so frustrated, you know.
Well, maybe you picked the wrong books.
Well, maybe, you know, as a good Lutheran, I probably should have had food with your book club is called Food for Thought, right?
That's right, and we do have food.
I know you have food.
Oh, well, I'm going to enjoy it.
In fact, you have a meal.
Yes. We usually eat a meal together beforehand, and we rotate who brings the food. And so we get a chance to catch up.
So one person or one couple?
We'll usually have, you know, one couple or person do the main dish and one do a salad or one do dessert.
Okay.
And then I asked if they wanted to do potluck instead sometime, and they said, oh, no, this way we get a few months off.
So why have food at all?
Well, I think the common table is kind of nice to just get us all together as friends and book lovers. And chat first and get caught up with our lives is kind of a nice basis, and then we start into our discussion after that.
How did it begin?
You know, I don't know. I was trying to think about this last night. I don't know why it began, but it started before me. Our former youth and family coordinator started it, and I think it was another place just to offer another avenue for the members to get together and talk about books.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's something about a commensal relationship, people who gather around a table. That is, you know, generally you only eat with friends or with people you know. If you're eating with strangers, it's kind of a formal dinner that people are invited to. But there's something about sitting down with friends that makes the atmosphere a lot easier. What kind of books do you choose?
Just about everything. We try most often to have books that people have read. One time we tried one that nobody had read, but I just had a summary from the library, and it was awful. So we swore we would never do that again. So somebody has to have read the book. And we've read nonfiction, we've read fiction, whatever has interested people. And maybe we'll throw out two or three different names, and the group kind of picks one.
Mm-hmm. Do you select a new book each time, or do you?
Yes, we've done
it
each time.
Year? Okay.
We've talked about that recently because we've got actually this time we've got one for this time and the next because we had two books and we couldn't decide between them, so we just decided to do them both. And it kind of works because that way, as people read things, you have some new ideas that come in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, that's the whole business of books. A tweet's always foisting books off on me, but he generally doesn't make a mistake. He has, but his taste is a little more widespread than mine.
Mm-hmm.
But I've never known a person devour books the way Tweet does.
So, well, it's interesting. On Sunday, all the books that get passed around our congregation before church,
they do,
or during coffee,
people come to church just to hand books back. Sometimes. No, it is a booky congregation, I would have to say. And I suppose your group is partly responsible for that, because you are a core of avid readers and stuff, and I know somebody gave to me the book that you're going to read next, News of the World.
Yes, by Paulette Giles. Yes.
Yeah, and have you discussed that yet?
No, we're going to do that in August.
Have you read it?
No, I'm going to go buy it.
I'm anxious to see what you think.
And it was referred by one of the other members to some of our people on the group.
Uh-huh. Well, this program airs in August, so it'll be either before or after your meeting. What day of the month do you meet on?
It varies. We meet every other month, and then we just kind of look at our calendars when we're planning and see what – we usually do Saturday nights, mm-hmm. and we just pick one that everybody can come to.
Uh-huh. Is it how many are in the group?
We average about 12 to 14 usually. One time we had about 19, and that was because we were talking about Mark Schwiebert's book, The Template. And so we had several people from the congregation because he was talking with us about how he came up with the idea, his writing process, and the whole thing. So that's the only time we've had a live author with us. So that brought in a little bit larger group. But we average about 12 to 14 people.
Is there any particular area? I'm interested. It's a book club that's centered in and around the church. Do you get many religious topics?
It kind of started out that way, to have some kind of a faith base. And we've kind of gone all over, I think, since then. But then we do look at, you know, books, and if there is a faith statement in them, that's certainly a topic for discussion.
Well, all of human experience would yep. feed into that.
Uh-huh.
So, okay, then if you have difficulty, is someone always ready to suggest something?
Usually. We've only had a few times where we stumbled, but then what I'll do is, like, I belong to some groups that have other book groups, and so they'll print their list of books for the year, so I will keep those. And if we're kind of stumbling for an idea, I will kind of bring out a list from somewhere else and say, has anybody read any of these books? And that usually triggers some thoughts from people of books they've read, and we kind of go from there.
So does someone run the discussion each time, or?
I kind of start it.
Okay.
What I do is I do some background work, and I try to get a biography of the author beyond what's on the flap. And I try to get a couple of reviews, and then say, you know, to the group, do you agree? Or, you know, kind of start it out. And we've got a chatty group, so I don't have usually too many times that we have a lull in the conversation. But if there is, I've also gone out and found discussion questions. And I'll throw a few of those out to kind of get another angle or another topic going.
So are you the one who does this every time, or do different people?
I do now.
Okay.
It kind of started out that the person who did the book was, and we kind of faltered a little bit with that. So I just took it over, and I don't mind doing it, and I enjoy doing it. It gives me some perspective, too.
I didn't realize that there were that many people reading books steadily, so that you would have a constant source of suggestions. How do you find a community of readers? Is that unusual, Tweet, that we have?
I think there are a lot of book clubs, but as I said, I don't think any one book club I know, maybe one in Bettendorf, works as well as the group at St. John's.
What's the
secret?
You know,
I hear them. I haven't ever gone, but I hear them talking about the book coming up, and they all seem to have read it, and they do have opinions on it, and you know, that's not been my experience with book clubs.
How do you account for that, Connie?
It's a group that has come together because we like books, but several of them belong to other book groups. I know one belongs to at least two or three other ones, one at the Bettendorf Library and a couple other ones through organizations. And then a couple other women belong to a couple other groups too. This is the only one I belong to. I joined because I decided I wanted to broaden my horizon of the books I was reading. And I knew from people that I knew at St. John's that they would have different mm-hmm. suggestions for us, and I have.
What book provoked the most conversation or even controversy?
Well, you know, I looked back to the books we've read so far this year, just in 2018, and the very first one, and I'd forgotten about it, Some of them said, how are we going to discuss this? Well, we had a great discussion. It was The Day the World Came to Town, Gander, Newfoundland, by Jim Defeatty. It was when 9/11 happened and the jets couldn't come into the United States, but they had to go someplace. And they had an Air Force base, closed Air Force base in Gander, Newfoundland. And all these jets flew in there to this little tiny town that increased it by about 10,000 people. And it was a nonfiction, and it talked about the people on the planes. It talked about the logistics. It talked about the people in the town, how to feed them, how to sleep them, how to shower them, how to clothe them, and all the things they went through, and then some of the personal stories. And we had a great discussion about it, and it was really an enjoyable book, very enjoyable book. Another one we read was called The Vanishing Woman by Doug Peterson, and it was about a female slave during the Civil War, and she told her husband she didn't want her children born in slavery and raised in slavery, so she was very light-skinned and with, quote, good hair. So she dressed as a man, and her husband was her slave, and they were on boats and railroads and went to Boston, and then the Fugitive Act came in where anybody could arrest somebody who had fled slavery. So then they moved to Canada and ended up living in England. And it was a very interesting book. One we just discussed was The Nightingale by Kristen Hannah. And 560 pages. But it read very well. And it was a fiction with a lot of historical research, how two sisters in France handled World War II. Mm-hmm. And we had a great deal of discussion. Usually we agree about books, not always, or there might be sections. Because we have people who range from maybe their late 50s, early 60s, up to early 90s. And so some of those have, were alive during World War II and told their perspectives. And some of us, of the younger ones, it was interesting to hear that perspective. So we've had some really good discussions about books we didn't know if we would have a good discussion about.
Has there been a book that just didn't work out? Or is there always something?
Well, the one that I told you about that none of us had read, and I didn't even finish that book, and I rarely do not finish a book. I struggle through to the end in hopes of something. And there was another one, and I can't even tell you the name of it, because I think I've thrown it away. It was so bad. And I don't throw away books. But one guy did have a perspective on it that I hadn't really seen that did give it some validation. Mm-hmm. So we've had a couple that just everybody said, ooh, boy.
I remember recommending a book called Grendel, and a friend of mine had a very active book club up in Fulton. And so they decided to read Grendel. It's a rather short book. And they called me up because they had a fit with that. And I went up and explained to them why I thought it was a great book. And because each chapter was a different, was based on a different philosophy and so on. It was the Beowulf story told from the point of view of the monster.
Oh,
I thought it was a fascinating book.
Yeah, John Gardner's book?
Yeah, John Gardner. That's when we brought John Gardner to town, and with Fletcher Knebel. And the two of them were quite interesting. We had them here for 3 days.
Right.
Yeah. But you never know. Well, you never know what's going to happen, do you? What's your favorite kind of book?
I do love mysteries and fiction. And I looked at the ones. Currently, I'm reading Twisted Prey by John Sanford.
Mm-hmm.
And I just finished The Cuban Affair by Nelson DeMille. Both really good. And then another one I just read that's totally out of my usual group. I had seen the woman on TV as a documentary and then recently in some talk shows. Her name is Iris Apfel, A-P-F-E-L. And her book is an autobiography, and it's called The Accidental Icon, The Musings of a Geriatric geriatric Starlet. She's probably 95 or 96 years old. Very bold in how she dresses and accessorizes. And in fact, they did a display at the Museum of Art in New York with her accessories and clothes from her collection. She has rooms with racks of clothes. And nobody outside of the fashion industry had ever had a display there except her. And then they've done a documentary about her, and then I've seen her at talk shows. And she's just really fascinating. And this book is maybe 165 pages, a fun, fun read. Lots of pictures, and then lots of pages that have caricatures of her and her sayings. Mm-hmm. Like one of her sayings I just heard her say was, at the beginning, I may be paraphrasing, but it's, more is better and less is boring.
That's, well, certainly anyone who makes clothes would agree with that.
Am I correct in remembering that a year or so ago you read a book by mistake because you got the title wrong? You were going to read The Girl on the Train or something, and it turned out to be...
There's one called The Girl on the Train, and then there's one, The Girl from the Train.
Yes, and you read The Girl from the Train.
Well, we read both of them, actually.
Okay. But you hadn't intended to read both of them, did you?
No, but somebody else had said in their book group they'd gotten the wrong one.
Okay.
And we ended up reading both of them. And one was the, you know, one of them was made into a movie,
right,
and the other one wasn't. But, and both were good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you never know. I've sometimes gone through a bookstore shortly after my wife's death. I was going through a bookstore, and there was a title, Where'd You Go, Bernadette? And I thought, I've got to read this book.
Absolutely.
And right next to it was Gone Girl, so I thought I'd read both of them. And they both turned out to be terrific, although when I finished Gone Girl, I wanted to throw it away.
Most of the books you read, I take it, are contemporary.
Mostly, yes. Yeah. We really haven't gone to classics.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever thought about it, or are you just – is there some reason why – you're reading current?
I think one time somebody said, oh, we should try that. And I think the groups kind of said, not really.
Not really. That's for the classroom.
Right.
Well, Connie, it sounds as if you have a very lively group. And it's good to know that you've got a book club that's really chugging along. So keep reading. Thanks again for coming to see us.
You're welcome. Thank you.
You know, I'm surprised that you aren't in that book club.
I don't know why I'm not. I just, well.
Well, maybe they have taste. I mean.
I don't know.
It might be an exclusive club.
I should be. I know everybody in there. And it's just, I'm not as much of a joiner as other people are. And usually I have things to do or not do.
Well, that's true. And but this program, for example.
I not only miss the books, I miss the food. You know, they say Episcopalians will tell you that wherever there are four Episcopalians, you'll soon find a fifth.
Yeah.
With Lutherans, wherever three or four Lutherans are gathered, there will be food. And apparently they have some incredible meals and some incredible discussions.
But
Connie was right. She said that after church on Sundays, there's generally a book exchange going on between 10 or 15 people in the church. And here's one that Peter Kivisto, our resident Finnish-American teacher at Augie, gave me last week. It's called The Year of the Hare, H-A-R-E. By Arto, A-R-T-O, Pasalina, P-A-A-S-I-L-I-N-N-A. And it is the story of a man who injures accidentally a rabbit and feels sorry for the rabbit and picks the rabbit up and takes care of it, and then decides he's a journalist, doesn't like his wife, doesn't like his job, decides to just take off. And goes on a series of adventures all over Finland, ending up about 90 miles north of the Arctic Circle. It turns out that this is based on an old Finnish folktale about the hare and a man who picks the hare up. There's another novel, in fact, a contemporary novel, called The Beggar and the Hare, which does the same kind of thing. In fact, we've talked about it on Scribble. But this is really a wild series of adventures in which the main character, Vatanen, and his hare, which he keeps in his pocket or in his cap, get into all kinds of difficulties and problems and ends up crossing the border into Russia unknowingly, getting arrested and ending up in prison in Russia, gets out of it somehow. It's just a fun, great adventure. And I don't know, I'm not familiar enough with Finnish folk culture to tell you what that old folktale means or where it fits in. But it reads a lot like a book we recommended 2 years ago, The 100-Year-Old Man Who Climbed Out the Window and Disappeared, which is even wilder, but it's in the same vein. So if you like a good fun read, The Year of the Hare, and if you want to read a little different culture, this is a Finnish writer.
Okay. The Year of the Hare. I've got a book, a hefty one, called The World as It Is, a memoir of the Obama White House. Now, there are many, many books I've read over the years, people who've served in various administrations, the Bushes, Reagan, Clinton, and they're always interesting inside stories, but this is far and away the best I've ever read.
Who's it by?
By Ben Rhodes. Ben Rhodes is one who got involved in the Obama campaign early on and was taken up into the White House as a speechwriter and gradually became an assistant. Let me get the title here correct, just to be sure I don't make a mistake. Deputy National Security Advisor. And toward the end, he was put in charge of making the opening to Cuba. He also became quite interested in problems of unexploded bombs in Southeast Asia. We dropped more bombs on Laos than we did on Japan and Europe during the Second World War, during the Vietnam escapade. Ben Rhodes is not only a very interesting fellow in himself, but he's a wonderful writer. And he takes you through the entire Obama administration, very clear-eyed. He doesn't have any axe to grind, but he has a story to tell about how government works and how incredibly complicated it is. Just the day-to-day activities and what a price you pay if you get involved in the White House of any administration. You can forget family and sleep and so on. And his constant problem is to connect with his wife and his children. Two of them are born during the Obama administration. But also some of the conflicts and the arguments, the discussions they had, and how it must be like as a president going from one serious, insoluble problem to another, domestic, international, off around the world, back at home, and there's never a time when you can get away from it. It's just amazing.
All you have to do is look at photographs of some of these guys when they begin and 8 years later when they end.
Yeah, that's true.
It's incredible. You don't notice it as it's happening, but boy.
That's true. And Ben Rhodes has given us, I think, one of the most valuable books I've read when it comes to understanding what it takes to be president. It is an overwhelming job. And the amazing thing is what Obama was able to bring to the office and his habit of being very cautious, very slow to decide, wanting all the facts, wanting to hear from everybody. He wanted to hear competing ideas and then very carefully choosing what to do. And this covers some really significant things, not just the elimination of Osama bin Laden, but also the Iran-Contra deal, the Cuba relationships with international leaders all across the world, with domestic things. It's a hefty book, runs over 400 pages, but I tell you, I read it right through. I was just fascinated. And it's great when you have an author who leads you along so easily.
Right.
It doesn't happen often
right.
enough, particularly when they're writing in nonfiction and about political things. Quite often,
right.
it's just too much. But this is Ben Rhodes, R-H-O-D-E-S, The World As It Is, and I could not recommend that more highly. Doesn't make any difference what your political persuasion is. This is an interesting look into the intricacies of the White House.
Yeah, it's got to be horrendous.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it is, I tell you. Even doing working in the Senate, it's just amazing how complicated it is. You have another recommendation for us?
Well, let me re-recommend a book that one of our interviewees mentioned last year, as a last time we recorded him, The Killer Angels by Michael Shera, The 4 Days of Gettysburg, turned into a novel.
You're supposed to give me a copy of that.
I do, but somebody else just copped it this morning. And you will get it in a week when he's through finishing it. Two other people have already asked to read it, so maybe you will be way down the list.
Maybe.
It is, as I said, it reads like a Greek tragedy. Mm-hmm. You know, Lee decides, this is what I'm going to do. And you say, Lee, don't do it.
Uh-huh.
You know, and that battle, if it had gone the other way, we would probably have two countries today.
That's true.
I mean, that was a decisive, not only in the incredible carnage.
And kind of the accidental things that happened along the way,
yeah.
All through the course of that battle.
But as you read it, you know they're going to happen, right? They don't know it.
Yeah.
And it is a powerful book.
The Killer Angels. You know, I just may have to go get a copy of my own copy, because by the time your friends get through with it, it'll be circulating all over the community.
Well, you'll eventually get it. I had all the intentions. I brought it over today to give it to you. But but somebody else saw it and said,
"Oh,
I've been trying to get a copy of that."
And Tweet, being a soft touch, says, "Oh, here, take this."
No, it's just a book I love to have people read.
Mm-hmm. Well, I want you to read this one. So,
all right.
Take a look at that and see what you think. My son wants to read that too, but you read faster than he does.
Okay.
So I'll let you have first crack at it. But that, you know, we're reached the point into August now where we really ought to spend a time talking about recommendations in general. So maybe the next time we sit down to do this, let's just talk about books that are in circulation that deserve attention.
I'm of two minds on that. There's a new book out by Francine Prose, a National Book Award winner, called What to Read and Why You Should Read It.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's Randall Jarrell's comment, read at whim, read at whim, read at whim. In other words, just do what you do. Look for a title. Oh, that sounds interesting, and pick it up and read it.
Yeah, well, read it. Anyway, it's not – we're supposed to be reviewing books and talking about them.
Well,
so
we can do that.
Do that.
But,
okay.
But whether people should read them or not, I don't I'm on both sides of that question.
Well, what you should do is tune in next week and find out what we come up with. I'm Don Wooten with Roll Tweet. Thanks for tuning in. See you next week on Scribble.